back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another week of first place football. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. For sure, Luke will be in Owings Mills for the shortened week. And we were up late and then up early. And some of us sit around and talk about sports or do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, as I'll be doing this week, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill, the OTB in Timonium. I'm inviting some special friends by, but not this guy because he's on the show right now. Jeff Moeller is here from Moeller and Gary Homes and Realty and Section 513 and offspring of my oft-times partner and one-time guidance counselor, Don Moeller. You and I haven't gotten together in a while, man, other than like selling my place, still for sale. Anybody wants it, call Jeff. but we haven't talked football. And I think the last time we talked football was after the Raiders game. I believe when I got back from Vegas, maybe a month ago. They haven't lost since then, right? So let's, you know, start with that. And there's just so much to unpack here for Lamar true believers or doubters or somebody like me in the middle that says, he better stay upright. They better manage this smartly and he better get better. That's all I ever said. He's gotten better. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, no. I think a lot of the questions that were asked about Lamar coming into the season, he's answered them, you know, and he's answered them loudly in the first five games. You know, he can't throw outside the numbers. He can't bring a team from behind. If the other team takes away the run, they can't win with him. So
if they have to throw the ball 43 times, it means they're losing. I mean, right. You know, there's no doubt about that. Now, whether they pull it out, which they did, but for him to throw it like that, you'd think he'll get picked, ball bounce up, he'll get sacked, he'll get stripped, and he fumbled twice on the 1 yard line.
Right. Yeah, look, he still has some things that he needs to fix. But if the question was, if he can beat you with his arm, if they can beat you through the air, they're going to cause a lot of problems for defenses because now they're truly multidimensional where you really have to pick your poison. And he's won the last two games with his arm. You know, I mean, both Denver and the Colts took away the run essentially and tried to make them one dimensional. They stacked the box. They dared him to throw and he made them pay. So, you know, you got to tip your hat to Lamar and be excited about it because there's a lot of people out there who doubted that he would ever be able to do what he did last night and in Denver and this whole season. So it's a great sign. It's very, very exciting. There's a lot of issues on this football team, but the quarterback's not one of them.
Jeff Moeller joining us from Owen Gary, and we usually sit together. I was in the press box with a bad hip and a bad back and pacing more. And, you know, my dead leg period was really dead when they're losing by three touchdowns, right? The enthusiasm in the building, and, you know, your father and I disagree on this because, like, we just see the world differently. But I would say that in my opinion, and I walked the length of the stadium all the way, I walked a different way. Then I walked the Kansas City game, went to Hammer Jacks, the Kansas City game. I went the other way around Johnny U and around Russell and that way in. And then I walked through the bowl of the stadium differently during the game when I exited. The people that are at the stadium are not the people that you and I were with when they beat Seattle in 2003, you know, the miracle weird Anthony Wright game that I thought was like 7 or 8. And Luke's like, no, that was Billick. That was Anthony Wright. I'm like, Anthony Wright, my God. But the people that watched Ray Lewis dance and were there, this is a whole different group of people. I think seeing people not in their seats, leaving, you know, like all of the above that rookie mistakes. There were the same people in the stadium for 20 years, the same exact people. It was like church. You saw it. Mm-hmm. And it's different now. And the level of enthusiasm when something miraculous happens like Monday night to be a part of that. And I know you know, you wish your kids were there. You know, like all of that, the thing that you're happy you're there with your dad experiencing that and having that moment because it's a seminal game. I mean, both of these home games, not just beating Mahomes, national TV. Then there's the Colts thing for people like you that had it taken away in your childhood, me, my adolescence, your dad in his adulthood, to watch it come back and 25 years later, to have it be good and interesting and compelling and something fathers and sons can do. I There was different fathers and sons at the game last night, and handing down a different kind of night, I think, for Baltimore and for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new generation coming through, you know, and let's be honest, Nestor. I mean, this is a team that didn't have any primetime games. You know, we didn't have that star on offense that they want to put on primetime to TV. We had the Ed Reeds, we had Ray Lewis, but defense wasn't selling tickets in the NFL. That's not what people wanted. So we never had any primetime games. Certainly didn't have many at home.
Well, we had them every year. That is, we're always in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right. So having one at home, what was interesting last night is I felt the energy in the building was for the Chiefs was actually more energy because it was the Chiefs. And I felt like last night to start off, it was like, okay, well now we're getting used to this primetime thing. We have another Monday night football game, another primetime game. And it just seemed to take a while for the team and the fans, honestly, to really get going again. I mean, I feel like everybody was flat, the coaches, the players and the fans. But you know, when things started to turn around, it got awful loud in there, and it's pretty neat to have this next generation coming in and experiencing these new, you know, Lamar Jackson. They will be growing up with Lamar, and that's pretty special.
Well, I know you're Mr. Lacrosse and Mr. Coach and son of the coach and nephew of the coach. And boy, coach has got some work to do on defense this week, right? I mean, this is that it was really an ugly effort in that way. It was a losing effort, really, in that way. Yeah. We're up on two or three of those now. The back end's depleted. Clearly, they miss Marcus Peters. Hell, they still miss Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, right? I mean, Patrick Queen, the linebacker's running. I mean, bubble screen goes out. They get blockers. They block it up on 3rd and 10. Boom. Carson Wentz is out there playing Arena League football, and no one could catch him. Misdirections, you know, all of that Frank Reich-ish. And, you know, we're going to talk about Lamar, and it's wonderful, and he threw it there, and he ran it there, and we kicked it there, and we did all that. But the defense is a problem right now, and I don't know where that's, you know, other than Calais Campbell's fingers, they lose the game Monday night.
Oh, no doubt. Look, we didn't stop them. You know, they missed a field goal. They had a field goal blocked. They missed an extra point. You know, that's really how we got back in.
Well, they had a hurt kicker. You know, they had a gimpy kicker.
Right. So that, if we want to be honest as fans, that's really the reason why we got back in that game. The door was left open, and the Ravens took advantage, which is
what. By the way, Stover was in the building, and I saw a picture, and we communicated this morning. They might have signed him at halftime. I mean, he was in the, you know what I mean? Like, there's a relate, right? I mean, yeah. Stover probably could have come out and made from 37 right now. I'll give him 37 straight away. And I want to tell him that when he comes on, too. Well, we talked so much about the kicker 2 weeks ago and how, you know, we need man's men. We need to scout. We need to have linebackers. We need to pay left tackles and wide receivers and quarterbacks and coaches and John Gruden, $10 million a year and 10 years, Garrett, like all that. And then, you know, then dude comes out with the game on the line and can't kick the ball or kicks it into the – or Billy Cundiff or Justin Tucker makes a 66-yarder. I mean, somewhere along the line. I talked about the idiot kicker last week and Vanderjagt and Adam Vinatieri. They had – I mean, Colts fans have had Adam Vinatieri, Matt Stover, Vanderjagt. I mean, they've had great kicking the same way we've had great kicking.
Yeah, and it was if you're a Colt fan, you're beside yourself right now. You're up 22-3. The game's in the balance for the most part.
They stole our team too, you know.
You just have to do the little things because, like you said, our defense is in trouble. You have linebackers. It's a real problem. And it's a shame because you want Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison. Those are the two guys that were supposed to fill those holes. They drafted those guys to fill those holes. Well, that's not happening. You watch them play. They're getting manhandled every week. And it's a problem. This defense is a real problem. I don't know how it gets better. Owe is clearly the bright spot on that defense. Calais Campbell's having a heck of a year, but I can't think of anybody else who's having a really good year. Not even Marlon Humphrey is having a great year. I think he's having a solid year, but not a great year. So they are getting exposed. When Carson Wentz looks as good as he did, and the Colts offense looked as good as it did, that's a problem. We haven't even played the great offenses. What's going to happen Sunday when San Diego comes to town, and then you're going to have Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to have these high-powered offenses. We're going to need to make some stops. We can't score 40 every week. So I don't know. I think Wink has his hands tied, Nestor. I don't know. You can only plug so many holes. You know, if you blitz, you know, we've been burnt with the blitz, but that's the only way we can get to the quarterback is with the blitz. So he's got a really tough job. He's trying to plug a lot of holes, and I'm not sure unless Eric DaCosta makes some moves here before the trade deadline, I don't know how you plug some of those.
He is Jeff Mohler. He's the offspring of my partner in crime, former Baltimore County executive Don Mohler. Don and I have had great stuff going on. Go listen to Luke Broadwater. We talked at length about Urban Meyer last week. And, of course, it always comes back to the Orioles and us disagreeing in that. I'm going to try to avoid that with you because I think we have other things we can discuss here. Tell me what you do and how you sell homes. Give me a little market update while I got you on here.
Yeah, well, look, the market's been strong. For real estate, the rates are still historically low. Inventory actually is still fairly low as well. So Mohler and Geary Realtors, we are a small boutique type real estate company that specializes in personal service.
And if you're an idiot like me and you need your hand held, you need someone like Jeff.
That's it. Well, you know, the thing that we pride ourselves on, Nestor, there's a lot of real estate teams out there. But when you deal with Mohler and Geary Realtors, you're dealing with us individually in person. There's not five different people that you're trying to communicate with. It's one person that is representing you, not unlike sports.
Just like,
you know?
Baltimore Positive, baby.
That's it. That's exactly right.
We're a small boutique AM radio station servicing the community. And when you call, you get me. Yeah,
that's so right. Well, that's true, though. You know, that personal service goes a long way, especially in this market. And in this market, you have to have a real estate agent with experience who knows how to navigate this market, how to structure contracts, or else you're just going to be spinning your wheels. So we pride ourselves on that, and our clients are having lots of success in this market.
Dude, 1,000 directions I could go with Jeff Mohler. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Wise Markets. Another Wise conversation here. We're doing a student support network. I'll give your dad some love because I'm going to let him plug it too. Because when he used to be, I want to talk about that. Lock Raven High School, feeding kids in pantries. Student support network. Our friends at Wise, big event at Towson coming up later in the week. Go support them. But it's 15 different schools in Baltimore County. Not Dundalk High, but you know we're talking about. I'm working on that. Like I'm working on Johnny O. Get me over to Colgate Elementary when it's open. But so big shout out to our friends at Wise, and of course the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill on Friday at the OTB. We're going to be with the Mayor Brandon Scott at Coco's. I'm going to check my calendar on this because we've moved this three times. I want to get the date right. The 17th. It's a Wednesday actually, because that week the Ravens are in Chicago. I'm supposed to fly to Chicago Friday for the pizza. And so nonetheless, it's presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Come on out, have a crab cake. We'll have some friends. And I'll see my old friend Tom. He was great seeing him. Saw so many friends at the Rockin' at the Races, Paul King and Joe Carolyn, all these people that want the crab cake tour. So I'm bringing crab cakes to the county over the coming weeks, and we're bringing football victories. Is there anything else you want to say about the Ravens? Because I want to dive into Gruden with you. I want to dive into leadership and coaching and where you come from, and there's no hate in the 212-228, and I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. Shout out to Ev.
Yes.
We're going to bring the show out to the Beaumont sometime soon too. So, you know, the Gruden thing, I'm sitting in the press box. Luke elbows me. He's like, dude, Gruden just resigned. I'm like, okay. You know, I jump on, I stop watching the game for a three and out, literally. I mean, it was a Lamar three and out early in the game. I'm like, I wonder when ESPN is going to break in on an ESPN story. We had an ESPN alum and an ESPN guy that was making $8 million a year and television wasn't enough. And he had to, man, I'm a Gruden. I've always been a Gruden guy, right? I've always liked Gruden. I've always rooted for Gruden. I'm not going to back down from how I was with Gruden, and I interviewed him a couple, like all of that. And then watching him on Monday Night Football, I thought he sort of jumped the shark. It wasn't must see for me after the first year or two, because if I were a player, I got tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and like listeners are still listening to me after 30 years, I've evolved, I've changed, I've lost some of them, but if you're tired of me, you go away, you just stop listening. Right. And one of the reasons I don't beat up on the baseball team, and I just done, you know, but with Gruden, he could have stayed in the booth and you know, I guess he was stupid enough to send emails with just awful tropes, right? I mean, everywhere, and more of it will come out and like all of that. But it's terrible. It's an awful thing for the league. And here's the part where your dad and I would disagree. And I'd love to hear your thought on this, and I'll let him speak for himself, cause I'm reconning with him a little bit too. And this will be a big part of what we do, cause it started with Urban Meyer last week. And how do you let these men run your place? And then I think 75 million people voted for the worst obvious 4-year representation of that. So John Gruden's not the only one. And I think for all of us in navigating the world, white men with power making $10 million a year, everything that happens underneath of them, whether they're Matt Lauer as talent or whether they're Donald Trump or Epstein or any, that power is really, really difficult to uncheck. And Urban Meyer clearly has the stench of the arrogance of all of that, still roaming the sidelines, the whole deal. And then the league blackballing Colin Kaepernick and now having end racism and all of this, that they've made a movement that Booger McFarland's behind, and they're all like, we're all in on this. Well, are you really? I mean, I guess we'll see if firing Gruden gives more cannon fodder to the politically correct and all that. This is way beyond any of that. This is about leadership and about humanity and about things that your father and your mother, I know, taught you, and maybe mine didn't. Your father probably taught me, right, literally, because right. Where I grew up, the Archie Bunker thing, you know, the F word, as you know, or the N word, or these words, man, I mean, all of my life in lots and lots of interactions that make me very, very uncomfortable 30 years later. And apparently it's still 1978 on the farm in the Gruden family, huh?
Yeah. What's really shocking, a couple things stuck out. One, that he would be dumb enough to write this, arrogant enough to write this in an email, several emails and send, and that to me is you wonder what he's thinking, to your point of having this power where you just think you're untouchable.
I think he was drunk. That's what I think. That would be the next thing, you know?
Well, I don't know. And there's so many of them, you know, there's so many of these emails, and I can't understand spending all that time with Mike Tirico in the booth, being in this game for so long and coaching men of different races. And
how about sitting on a set with Susie Culber, who I have a lot of respect for, whom I like so much personally and professionally, and I just all of it. The fact that Mark Davis, you know, that the league had to put the gun to his head to go fire him because he's a man child unto himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're saying those things weren't said behind closed doors when they were boys eating P.F. Chang's? I mean, come on, sure. Man. That's the part of it. This isn't a one-time – I'll bring it to football the other night, right? Like where Tavon Moore fights back and gets – that's an in-the-act F-U, anything's possible, right? You know what I mean? Like anything's possible in that moment of anger. It's a whole different thing when you're writing an intentional email full of hatred. You know,
right? And you're coaching. You have Carl Nassib on your team. You know, you have Mike Tirico in the booth. You have Josh Jacobs on your team. You have all these men.
Every Warren Sapp and Rod Woodson and everybody that every Brett Favre, every player you've ever touched in his career. Right.
Yeah,
substantial.
You can't apologize.
Eric Brooks.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fraud. I mean, the reality is that John Gruden is a total and complete fraud, and it's shame on him for, you know, he's got some work to do on himself, and he will never work again. Nobody will ever hire him again. And this will stain his reputation forever. And it, you know what? It should. It absolutely should, because in this country right now, Nestor, if we're incapable of looking at somebody else and listening to somebody else and understanding other points of views and respecting it without disparaging it, you know, that's where we've gotten to. You know, we are not trying to be the United States of America. We're not. We're trying to divide, and this is part of it, and it's allowed, and some of it's encouraged, you know, and it's the climate is it's just. it's like a cancer, you know?
Oh, it's incredible. Somebody out there, not somebody, lots of somebodies are going to say, that's why I don't watch the NFL anymore, because they don't want men like John Gruden there anymore. Yeah, John Gruden's a real man. You know what I mean?
But you have people, Nestor, who don't watch the NFL because of the Colin Kaepernick situation. I mean, we are so divided. And this does not, to your point, this John Gruden, yeah, you fired him and he should have been fired or he should have resigned. That is better than nothing for sure. But that does not solve this. That does not solve this problem. There's a lack of trust. Look, Lamar Jackson for the Ravens hasn't signed an agent and probably isn't, because in his interview with ESPN says, look, I can't trust somebody I hardly know with my livelihood. There's such a lack of trust, and why wouldn't you? You see what happens with Gruden. How does a player truly trust his coach? I mean, does all the Ravens truly trust John Harbaugh? He's probably one of the easier guys to trust and respect, right? So I would think most of them do, but you don't tell me for a second that there's not players in that locker room that are saying, I wonder if coach is saying these things behind closed doors.
Or how about the owner? Or how about the owner's wife? Sure. Or the, right, you know, the president of the team? Or, you know, what sponsors want? Or how about what the boosters want? Well, how the boosters feel about Coach Gruden? We welcome him here in the South. We got a place for him. Yeah, you know. So I feel it. You know what I mean? And I feel it even more when the tower is shaken. Right. Yeah. I mean, Urban Meyer last week, John Gruden, Donald Trump. Is this what leadership is? Because there's a large, large faction of people out on those golf courses you're on that think that's leadership. That's the way we do it. And, I push back on that, but I think it's fascinating with Gruden that you could aspire to that level, get a gig of that ilk, $100 million deal, leave one cushy job, and have led your life in circles in that way for that long, and then be welcomed back in with $100 million deal. And Urban Meyer, with all of the ish and garbage and trash that sort of, you know, follows everywhere he goes, leaving the dumpster fire, that it's still like Shad Khan bought on. And you know what I said last week to your dad? I said, yeah, Shad Khan's into like wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, he's buying a wrestling company. That's what the Jacksonville Jaguars are for him, is a circus. And if I was out in Vegas 3 weeks ago, I can promise you that the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, are a circus. You know, like literally. I wonder what Jack Del Rio's thinking, getting canned in the middle of the night because John Gruden decided to take $100 million. Like, you know, the only reason he lost his job, right? So, the story's still unwritten, right? I mean, the Washington football team, speaking of politically incorrect, the Washington football team, you know, Dan Snyder's emails, we don't talk about those. So there's a different set of rules for the owners and management that protects all of this, literally, all of the part that makes it an ivory tower.
Right. Well, I think the Gruden thing is more damaging than what some may actually, you know, if you dig a little deeper, I think it's more damaging. And the fact that when you listen to Mike Tirico talk last night, he was saying, hey, I spent years in a booth with this guy, never sensed any sense of, you know, I believe him when he says he's not racist, because I never got any ounce of that. Then they interviewed Josh Jacobs, who essentially says the same thing. Well, clearly the guy's a racist, you know, clearly he is. He just did it behind closed doors. So when I say this is damaging, it's, you can't, the trust, you know, if you're starting to trust somebody, this is going to be in the back of your mind. It's going to be in the back of your mind of like, well, is this real? Is this guy real? Because everybody thought John Gruden was real, and clearly he wasn't. And he was dumb enough to write this in emails, or didn't care enough to write this in email. So I think this is real. I think this is really damaging. We can only shine a light on, we know that the country is racist and we're divided and there's a lot of work to do, and everybody has to kind of play their part. And by firing John Gruden, by fire. I don't know how Urban Meyer still has a job. He should be fired if I'm the leader of that team. That he's totally lost the locker room. I can't understand that one. So there do have to be some hard lines taken, but there has to be a lot of listening done as well from those of us who aren't black or gay, or, you know, we shouldn't be talking. We should be listening and learning. That's what needs to happen.
Jeff Moeller is here. He's been my friend for a long time. You can find him, Moeller & Gary Realty. And certainly his dad will be here later on this week. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be out talking more and more about all of this stuff. So, you know, for the Ravens and the feeling of possibility, right, you know, and how this is going to go, we've beaten up the defense. The offense made great strides, although, you know, doing that on a week-by-week basis, I don't think that's who they are. I don't think they want to throw the ball 43 times a game and need Lamar to throw for 400 yards and be Superman, as I called him this week, because it was a Superman era. I mean, it was a Superman stat line. It's crazy. And we shouldn't expect that again. But where they go here, this Charger thing, this is telling, right? Because this is a challenge for the defense, as I see it. You know, can the defense get off the field against – and by the way, I'm glad I bought you beer in Ocean City 25 years ago, because you stole my heart when you called them San Diego's coming in here. And I'm like,
oh, sorry.
That's my right. boy. That's my boy. San Diego, old school.
You're right. You're right. Oh, my goodness.
I'll always call him San Diego. I'm going to call him San Diego all week.
Well, yeah, I think it is a big challenge for the defense. Offensively, though, you look, they lost Ben Cleveland last night. I'm assuming that didn't look good. He's probably gone for the year.
It's like every week.
Zeitler got hurt again. Sammy Watkins out with a hamstring. Well, that he's not coming back next week if it's a hamstring. So Lamar did that last night without more guys, right? So without one of his top targets, without two of his offensive line end up having to go out, in addition to the guys who were already out, in addition to Villanueva, who's playing on a bum knee. So they, at some point you literally run out of players. Like we ran out of a lot of good players. We've lost a lot of good players, but now we're losing a lot of backups as well. So the question is, can the defense stop Herbert, who is, I think, fantastic. He's definitely a step up from Carson Wentz. And that offense is a big step up from the Colts offense. So a huge challenge for that defense for sure. And then from the offensive side, is Lamar and that offense going to be able to keep up in a shootout without some of their key pieces? And that's where Rashad Bateman comes in. If he can come back and play, it would be great to see if he can fill that Sammy Watkins role.
Just because they don't have any fans doesn't mean they can't come in here and beat us. Obviously, look at the Colts. Hey, Do you get pissed about the Colts thing? I know you had some a-holes near you. I wouldn't have, it's a good thing I wasn't around. I mean, just my back's killing me. Man. And I was like, I'm just trying to get right, as Rob Woodson once said to me. I think I'm done with it. And then I walked around the stadium, and the first time I literally drove into the city at like 5 o'clock. I had been in the suburbs seeing Dr. Steve up at Elliott Chiropractic, and I came in and I saw like 5 Colts fans on the scooters or Death Wish mobiles flying up Camden Street. And I'm like, kind of pisses me off. You know what I mean? Like when I see it, it's still in Baltimore. It kind of makes my shoulder, and I don't want it to be like that, but it bothered me. And I ended up walking up to the stadium. I ran it, just walking around the stadium. I just sort of like, bothers me.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit younger, not a lot of it. I'm a little bit younger than you. So,
what year were you born?
So 76.
Oh, all right. So that's almost a lot. It's 8 years younger. So okay. Yeah.
So my experience.
But, I mean, you don't remember Burt Jones. That's different. You know what I mean? Like Burt was to me what Manny Machado was to your kids, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like really into Burt. Burt was my dude, you know?
Yeah, no, my dude was Warren Moon. Yeah, because I decided I couldn't root for the Redskins. And I liked the helmets of the Houston Oilers. So I was a Warren Moon, Al Toon fan early on in my life, you know, and until later on, we finally
I got a closet there. Full of Oilers stuff. You don't have to apologize to me. And by the way, if you went through my phone, I only sent one text after the game on Monday night. I sent it to Mike Rosigliano, and I sent him, we finally got even with Frank Reich. That's what I sent him. And he knew right away. 1 a.m. I got a text back like, dude, I was there. I'm with you. So anyway, that's a little Buffalo Oiler reference there. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't bother me as much. I mean, the Colts fans behind me, you know, they were loving it for the first 3.5 quarters. What bothers me is the talk about Lamar when other opposing fans or even our fans who are hating on Lamar Jackson about how, you know, hey, he can't throw, he can't do this, he can't do that. He won't last in this league. And then he sets records, you know, for completion percentage over 40 attempts and sets, you know, ties Dan Marino for most wins under the age of 25. He's obviously going to smash that this year. So as much as that young man has done for this city and what he's developing at a great pace, and he's already won the MVP. So the hate on our quarterback from opposing teams is really annoying. So I loved just, you know, I love their silence in the last 6 minutes. And Nestor, you could just hear, you know, when we started to come back, they knew it was coming, and that was enjoyable. But that would have been enjoyable if it was any team, you know.
Well, you know, destiny took over when the ball ran into Calais Campbell's fingers. Jeff Moeller's here, Moeller and Gary Realty. He'll sell your house. You can find him. His dad will be here a little later on in the week doing some Baltimore positive with me. I got to get you out. We're at State Fair. We'll go to the Beaumont or something. We're going to do a crab cake again, and we'll do a little community thing, get back out to Catonsville. Jeff Moeller joining us here. You can find me anytime, anywhere, at a Baltimore positive. Luke's going to be out for the short week this week, out in Owings Mills. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. I saw that Haloti Ngata was eating some chicken during the game, later in the game. So that made me hungry. I got to go to Royal Farms now. I mean, I'm going to be there before the week's over for sure, because I'm, you know, some bad advertising working. I don't know. Something about that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.